Welcome to the APA Podcast, where we help one another follow Jesus at home, in our city, and around the world.
It's good to be with you. My name's Dave. If you don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here, and just want to give an extra special welcome, maybe to those who are families of our Gladwin Child Care Center kids. I know that some of you come from other churches, which is awesome. God bless you. God bless your churches. If you don't come from another church, just an extra special welcome for you. I know that it can be challenging and take courage to step into an environment that you're not familiar with. And so we're just extra grateful that you're here and you can bless us with, you know, the awesome performance from your kids. Can we give it another hand for GCC, for Karen Fewings, the director, and the rest of the staff. So grateful for their good work. I do have a quick thought to share with you, but before I do, one announcement that I want to pass on. If you don't already have a church to go to on Christmas Eve, we want to invite you to come back here. We've got two Christmas Eve services, 60 minutes long each. You can choose between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. It'll just be a great time to kick off the celebration of Christmas for you and the whole family. So we'd love to see you there as well. We're going to have a great evening together as we celebrate Christmas. But if you will give me, I'm deliberately on a clock today, if you'll give me 20 minutes, we'll close with a song. You'll be able to get some cookies and hot chocolate and grab your kids and take off here. But at this time in our service, we like to take a moment to read from the scriptures, to meditate on the work of Christ in our lives, and particularly in the Christmas season, we think through the implications of his arrival. That's what the word Advent means. It's the Advent season, the arrival of Jesus into the world. And I'm a father of three amazing kids, so you Gladwin families, I'm with you. Mine are a little bit older. They're 14, 13, and 11. And I remember their arrival in the world so well. The arrival of a child into a family, the arrival of a child, just in that, those first breaths as you witness them come into the world, it's such a profound experience to witness that moment. And Christmas, of course, is the arrival of a very particular child, the baby Jesus. And let me tell you, there's nothing more peaceful than adding a child to your family. What do you mean? Obviously, it's not. Adding a baby into your family is chaos. The pain, the screaming, the crying, and that was just me, right? Chaos ensues. There's nothing that can add more challenge and chaos to your life than a baby joining your family. One of my favorite comedians is Jim Gaffigan. Anyone know Jim Gaffigan? One of the lines that he has said that has always stuck with me, I think it's hilarious, he's a father of five. And he says, do you want to know what it's like to have five kids? He says, imagine you're drowning, and then someone hands you a baby. That's what it's like. Any families with five kids? Welcome. No, none of you are. Oh, I got some here. Okay, awesome. Everything with kids is more chaotic. Church is more chaotic with kids. The house looks like someone shook it up like a snow globe. Your finances are a wreck. The relationship with your spouse can get more strained. Patience and emotional stability get pushed to the breaking point. Kids add gray hairs or you lose hairs. They get bags under your eyes. You get dad bods. All this comes from these little chaos monsters that join your home. So why then is the announcement of Jesus' birth said to be the arrival or the advent of peace on earth? The kids read it earlier. The passage from Micah chapter 5 and verse 5 says this: he will be the source of peace. The prophet Isaiah, 700 years before the arrival of Jesus, foresees his advent, and he says, a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Then the choir of angels, on the very night Jesus was born, announced to the lowly shepherds, they said, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Peace. This baby's arrival would bring peace. Now, I'm not one to think that Jesus showed up and wasn't like every other baby. I don't think he just showed up in his golden fleece diaper and never cried and never messed his pants or anything like that. I think in a lot of ways, he was a regular baby with the same kind of challenges of waking his parents up in the night, and Mary was tired and Joseph was tired, and they had chaos in their home as well. But unlike every other baby, Jesus' arrival was going to bring a kind of peace on the earth that wasn't present before. So in all the chaos of life, in the hurry of this season in particular, and the challenges of raising kids and managing finances and dealing with the unexpected, the arrival of Jesus is an arrival or an advent of peace. In other words, Jesus comes to bring hope in the chaos. You know the song, "It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas"? Right, I'm not going to sing it. You're welcome. But you know this song? I wonder if anybody has written a version of that song for West Coast Christmases. Like maybe it would go, "It's still raining and it won't stop raining. Merry Christmas." Like that's, like my kids are like, "Can't this all be snow?" And at the same time, I don't really want it to all be snow. Of course, as you know, you're well aware, and maybe some of you are impacted by it, but we've had another atmospheric river or 10 come through the valley, and I know there's some people in our church who've been impacted. And the first time I ever heard that term was in 2021. We had just moved here, and the floods came, and it's terrible. Water has destructive power. All through the Bible, interestingly, water is used as a symbol for chaos, a symbol for disorder or even evil and the unknown. Consider what it would have been like for a sailor many years ago before there were satellite weather predictions or underwater mapping or anything like that. You could just be sailing on calm seas and all of a sudden, without warning, there would be a massive storm threatening to take you and your entire crew down to the dark depths. Storms would just arrive. The sea was a massive mystery full of unknown monsters and chaos. Even today, the ocean reminds us regularly that it remains a mystery, something to be taken seriously. Every summer, my family, we spend a week with extended family on Shaunigan Lake on the island. And if you don't know anything about Shaunigan Lake, there was a movie film there years ago called Lake Placid. Anyone know this movie, Lake Placid? The story of Lake Placid is it's this small tourist lake town where somehow a 30-foot crocodile showed up in the lake and started eating everybody. And so every time I'm swimming in Shaunigan Lake, and I'm out in open water, and my legs are dangling for anything to, you know, check me out, it's easy for me to start thinking about crocodiles. And, you know, there's probably not a crocodile in Shaunigan Lake, but there's always that chance. You know, the mystery of the deep waters below us remains something that causes fear. And this natural fear that humans have of water led God and the prophets of Scripture to use the language of waters and the deep to describe the issues of chaos and fear and disorder in the world. Look at Isaiah 43:2, where God says, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown." Psalm 18:16, "He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters." Think of the first scene in the Bible. Genesis 1, verse 2 says, "The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters." This is the image of the world before God began to form it, to shape it, and to fill it with his creatures. It was dark. It was covered in chaotic waters. But the verse continues and says, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of those waters." So here's God's presence arriving over the chaos, ready to do battle against darkness, ready to do battle against chaos, poised to face off against the waters. He descends into the chaos to bring order, to bring life, and to bring fullness to that which was void. And he does it, as the verses go on, how? He does it just by speaking. "Let there be, let there be, let there be." Fast forward to Jesus. As Jesus is revealing himself to his disciples and what his nature and what his identity is to the world, there's this scene in Mark chapter 4 when the disciples are sailing across the Sea of Galilee and suddenly there's this storm that comes out of nowhere. Most of the disciples were skilled fishermen. They would have been used to rough waters, but in this case, they were terrified that they were going to die because of this storm. And Jesus steps up in the boat and says this, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. Jesus, over the dark waters, spoke, and chaos turned to order. Maybe you think people are crazy when they say things like, "Jesus speaks to me," or "God speaks to me." And a lot of us are crazy, but it doesn't mean that we're telling, you know, we're not telling the truth. But if Jesus' words really can calm storms, if God's words really can bring order into chaos and light into darkness and fullness into empty spaces, wouldn't you want it to be true that he still speaks today? Wouldn't you hope that God does and could speak into your life and into your world, into our city right now, to bring order and calm and peace into the chaos? And maybe it is true. Maybe the reason you've never heard his voice is you just haven't learned how to listen. But his voice brings light to the dark, fullness to the void, order to the chaos. There are other times when Jesus doesn't necessarily calm the storm, but he can be present with us to give us peace even while we go through the storm, and we survive because he's with us even as the storm rages on. I think there's two things that he does to give us peace in the chaos. One, he reminds us that he's close. One of the things I like to say all the time here at APA is God is always closer than you think. And the whole story of Christmas, the advent of Christ, is that God has come to us. God does not expect us to find our way to him, to follow the path of righteousness and to do these 10 steps so that we can have a relationship with him. No, God came to us in Christ. That was the whole point. He stepped into our mess to rescue us from our mess so that he could be with us. Christmas reminds us that God is closer than we think. And secondly, he reminds us that he's with us through it all by speaking to us. He speaks comfort to us. He speaks peace into our situation. He speaks peace into our heart and mind and gives us hope in the chaos. In John 16:33, Jesus says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world," we know this, "in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." This is what Jesus is speaking to those who are experiencing chaos, who are experiencing trouble right now. Take heart. All the chaos we face, Jesus knows about it. He's not surprised by it. He's been a part of this world. He entered into the chaos to experience it himself and to overcome it on our behalf, to remind us that when he is with us and when his word is in our life, we will survive the chaos and come through to the other side. Micah reminds us, as the kids read, he is the source of our peace. It's easy to respond if today your house is underwater or you're struggling with your kids or Christmas isn't as joyful as you hoped it would be. It's easy to think about this, your own situation, and I don't hear God speaking. I don't feel his peace. I've got a tough situation that I don't think anything can be done about it. It's an impossible situation to be overcome. There's a powerful scene often read during Christmas services about the announcement of Jesus' arrival in the world. An angel comes to Mary and tells her that she's going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. And it reminds us of the scene of those first moments of creation. The angel tells Mary she's going to be pregnant, and she responded like most people would. She said in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin. Mr. Angel, I know you're not from around here, but on this planet, there's a certain order, a certain sequence of steps that need to occur for a woman to become pregnant, and I'm missing some of those, so how is this going to work?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And listen to this, for the word of God will never fail." This language of the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary and filling that which was empty and void within her to bring life to a place where there was no life before. And this word of God speaking this into existence. This is supposed to remind the reader of those first moments of God hovering over the emptiness of creation and speaking life into a lifeless place. Mary's womb had been empty with no form, with not the right ingredients for a baby to be born, but God's presence and his word arrived to do something that seemed impossible. Mary's womb was filled with the life and word of God himself. So I don't know exactly what chaos you're facing right now. As a fellow parent, for you parents, I know a little bit of it. But life's chaos is more than just being busy with wild kids at Christmas time. Like the waters of pre-creation, we can be experiencing a chaotic void in our lives. Sometimes chaos isn't about what is happening, but chaos is often about what's missing, what's not there. Or again, like those waters of pre-creation, we can be experiencing a formlessness. Something isn't right. Something's out of shape. Something's disordered, like a Lego set scattered over the house, and there's no instructions about how to put it back together. It's chaos, disorder. Each person here is dealing with their own brand of chaos in their life, deep, dark waters that are threatening to overwhelm, and I won't pretend to understand it. But can I invite you to ask God to speak into your chaos? You may not buy into everything that I've said today. You may just be being polite, just waiting for your cookie so you can go. But can you just humor me with one thing? The band's going to come back here as I finish off, and I'm going to pray for you. But I want you to invite you to do this one thing as we bow our heads in a moment. I want you to think about the chaos you're experiencing right now. It could be big, could be small. What chaos are you experiencing? What void, what formlessness, what scattering, what is it? And I want you to just name that to God. And then I want you to ask God to speak into that. No word of God will ever fail, the angel's announcement reminds us. The disordered creation, all that was needed was the presence and the voice of God to speak. And if nothing happens, you've lost nothing. But what if he does speak? What if today he speaks or tomorrow he speaks and something begins to change, whether it's your circumstance or just you, and you begin to experience his peace because he is the source of peace.
Thank you for listening to the APA podcast. We hope it helps you better follow Jesus in your home, city, and around the world.